Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually, mentally, and physically fit. Hello out there. The weather is now getting cooler, but you still have to exercise and still have to eat right. I know you send them kids off to school, whether it's college or high school or elementary, and you figure you got to take them to this activity and that activity, especially the ones in middle school and high school, and therefore those eating habits are really bad. So we're going back to basics. You can join in my ACT program, ACT, A-C-T, Action Change, with a training emphasis in following my steps by Renee Wiggins. Go to www.resultsbyrenee. Well, tonight we got a dynamic speaker. Angela M. Gracie, PhR, is an ordained minister of the gospel, author, speaker, coach, and anointed teacher. She's a frequent conference and minister, speaker, and the author of The Waymakers Blog. A former freelance columnist, she now serves as a literary coach for the Right on the Purpose Literary Coaching Program, designed to equip, edify, and empower Christian authors to take their message to the world. She is the director and co-founder of the Angelic Grace Ministries International and the founder and CEO of the Gracie Group, LLC, a human resource consultant, leadership training, and coaching firm. She has served in public ministry for 6 years as a minister overseer, holding monthly services in Silver Spring, Maryland. Minister Gracie has an apostolic calling as a minister of reconciliation and inner healing. And I feel when I was talking to her earlier that there's got a shift in the atmosphere, that it's with so much going on, we got to help with this mental illness that's going on in this world, that we got to focus within, I mean focus, but really tapping into our resources that God has given us. Her passion is to equip, empower, and inspire leaders in ministry and the marketplace as ambassadors of Jesus Christ to prepare the way of the Lord and to turn their passion into purpose in this end time hour. We definitely got to have her on. So please, I want to welcome all my listeners. Welcome Angela M. Gracie, minister. Hello, Minister Gracie. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing? Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I want to tell my listeners out there, when I saw you at the Shea and Trevor conference there through the internet, I said I felt something that I have to have her on my show. And by reading her bio and reading what she's doing for the Lord, I said, yes, I am so glad that you're here. So I know I told my listeners just a little bit, a brief about you. Can you give us a little bit more about your history?
Okay, well, I am originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, born and raised. My husband and I relocated to this area in 2004. And when we came here, I had just closed my business. I had started my first company was entitled Raymer Writing Concepts, and that was a small business development and consulting firm. And basically, I trained entrepreneurs how to write their business plans and how to put their vision on paper and then take it from their minds, rather, and put it into on paper and then and give feet to it. And so I did that for 6.5 years, and then the Lord began to speak to us about leaving the area. And so we moved here in September of 2004, and I wasn't sure what to do. That was a major, major transition in my life, because just after I closed my business, I became ill, almost to the point of death, and physically ill to the point of death. And the Lord just healed and restored. And with less than 90 days, we found out we were leaving and coming here. And so that piece was a very big change. But when we got here, the Lord just began to speak to me about moving back into full-time ministry. So I have served for a little over 15 years in full-time ministry on staff at a large congregation as the human resources officer and as well as, you know, just other leadership roles, but certainly the role of HR on staff. And somewhere around the spring of September 2013, the Lord said, it's time for you to step out and to step into what I've called you to do. And so this book that we're going to talk about, the Lord had given me that message. He had been developing that message in my life for the last 20 years, and it was time for me to publish it. And so the Lord said, it's time to go. And so I did that towards the end of the year. I tendered my resignation, and I began to work on getting my book published, and that's what I did. And so we've been here now for 12 years. Monday, I will be married for 19 years to my wonderful husband. I am just thrilled about that. We're so excited. We're so excited because we're going to be 20 years old next year. Listen, what's so funny about that is, you know, when we first got married, all of our friends had been married longer than us, right? Everybody had been married for 20, 30, 40 years. Even our small group leaders had been married for like 50 years. And we were always the babies in the group. So we're so excited now that we're going to be 20 years old along with other people.
Wow, that is a blessing.
So we laugh about that. We laugh about that all the time, but my husband is a wonderful guy, paralegal, and we both were born and raised in Philadelphia. And when he took a job with the government, that's what prompted us to relocate here. So that's kind of where I've been for the last 10 or 12 years or so. And the Lord has just done marvelous things in our life lately. Not the least of which is the publishing of my second book. My first book was a book for entrepreneurs. But my second book was the message that God gave me for ministry, and that is to prepare the way for his second coming. And so thus the Waymakers Ambassadors for Christ was born.
Wow, that is really awesome. That is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I hear so much in your message there. You said you were almost to the near of death, and then he healed you, and it's like he was preparing you.
Yes.
He was using you as his messenger, and sort of what I said,
yes,
heard before you told me, there was almost like an exodus, you know, okay, you're no longer,
yes,
needed here in Philadelphia. It's time to rise up and, as you say, a step out, and I like that, and step in. That is,
yes,
a beautiful.
It was a,
I can see that,
yes,
chapter.
Amen. It was.
That
it was a stepping out to step in.
Step out and step into his word. Step out and step into his love and everything. So your second book,
yes,
here, let's talk about this, because I know throughout your bio you talk about inner healing and reconciliation and those words of what we've gone through now. Like, as I mentioned earlier, it's like an atmosphere of hate and all that happened in Charleston at that church and everything that's on is just, so let's talk about,
yes,
your book.
Well, my book, the reason, excuse me, this message,
mm-hmm,
this message that God has given me to prepare the way of the Lord, it is as much a Bible study and a leadership guide, but it is as much as that, but as much as it is my personal testimony. And the Lord wanted me to share my message and my road to inner recovery and my road to inner healing as a minister of the gospel. And I believe in my heart of hearts that this is so, so, so important in these days and times as ambassadors, as those God has called to be raised up to set the standard and to bring in, to lead this end-time harvest. You know, we are on the precipice of the greatest harvest ever. I mean, if ever there was a time for us to fulfill the Great Commission, it is now. But it means that we have to be prepared both spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We need to be healthy. And many of us are so struggling in that area. And so in my background, there is a lot of emotional dysfunction in our home. I struggled with rejection for many, many years. I struggled with abandonment. My mom was a single mom, and although I knew my dad and there was some early contact with my dad as a little girl, like less than 5 years old little girl, but later on, shortly after that, for like a period of a good 25, 30 years, we were completely estranged. And so that sense of abandonment and him not being there really played a major role in my emotional dysfunction. It was hard for me to trust, and I just because I didn't think that anybody was going to be there permanently. And so that was a major struggle for me. And so in the book, I share my testimony of how the Lord began to help me to forgive. And I tell the story in the book. There's a chapter entitled Something Old Turns into Something New. And it's my testimony of forgiveness and the road to recovery of forgiving my dad and how that opened up my world in terms of that forgiveness and letting that pain, that hurt, that bitterness go. It opened up my whole world, and spiritually, emotionally, everything. And I believe it's played a major role in even my marriage. The Lord said to me just as my husband and I were courting, he said to me, he said, you know, this is never going to work. Before you get married, I want you to deal with this issue with your father. And he put his finger on it, and he began to deal with it. And I went with his flow. I was obedient. I did what he led me to do. I made phone calls, and the Lord just began. I saw him just doing things that were just usually unheard of, like that just don't happen. But the Lord just started opening doors and made a way for me to find him and for that whole piece for us to come together. So I won't spoil it. Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. I won't spoil it. I want you to read it, the story in the book, because it's quite an involved story. But that was a major, major area of emotional healing for me. And so I just want to say, as I got older, you know, most of us, when we're struggling with those old wounds and hurts, things that people said to us, by the way, let me just say, you know, when we were growing up as kids, we used to always say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt. Remember we used to say that all the time?
Yes, yes.
That is
yes.
A lie from the pit of hell. You know why? Because words do hurt. They do hurt. When people say, I mean, somebody can just speak a word, and it can destroy a person's spirit. Mm-hmm. Words have power. What we say to one another and how we treat one another, they have power. And there are people who are walking around with wounds, I'm talking deep wounds, from something that somebody said, not because they stabbed them or they shot them or some right. other such thing, but from what someone said. And so it is critical that we deal with some of those areas. And some of us don't even know how deep those wounds are until we get older and we begin to experience other things in life. And that was the case for me. But in the fullness of time, fast forward to 2010, 2011, I came in contact with a ministry entitled Celebrate Recovery. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Mm-hmm. But it's a ministry of inner healing, and this ministry was born out of Saddleback Church under the leadership of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, there is a gentleman there, John Baker, who authored this program entitled Celebrate Recovery, and it's huge. It's all over the United States. It's in the prison system. It's in Israel. It's all over. But this is an amazing ministry of inner healing, because in this ministry, it is totally founded on the Bible. It's totally founded on biblical principles. And you move through the process of the program, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring healing to us. And so one of the leaders in my church at the time said to me, you know, we'd like to have you be a leader in this ministry. And, you know, I thought to myself, I don't have hurt habits and hang-ups. This is what I said to myself. That's not a ministry for me, because everybody assumed that it was a ministry for people who had addictions and that kind of thing.
Right.
But it wasn't. So I said, okay, reluctantly, in order to be a leader, though, you had to go through the training, right, like everybody else. And so I did. And guess what I found out? This was a ministry that was for my inner healing, that this was divinely orchestrated for God to bring me to a place where I would begin to deal with some issues. And I had just been ordained, I think, around that time as a minister. And the Lord began to take me through. And I, as I went through the modules and went through the training, oh, my goodness, I can't even begin to tell you. That ministry has played, and I talk about it in the book, it has played a major, major role. I will be forever indebted to John Baker and Saddleback Church for Celebrate Recovery. And I, if they don't know that I'm the poster child for that ministry because of how powerful it was. But when I began to walk through that, the Lord began to help me to get over rejection, over issues of intimidation and fear, over in some of my insecurities, things that have held me back and kept me from stepping out and stepping into who God was really calling me to be, because those roadblocks were in the way. So, you know, the scripture says in Isaiah 40:31, you know, to prepare the way of the Lord, and it says, prepare a highway for him, right? Make the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight. And so we have to remove the stubble, the stones. We have to remove those things that hinder our walk with him. And a lot of times it's not people, and a lot of times it's not something outside of us. It's something that's going on the inside of us. And we need to take time to deal with those issues. And so in the very beginning of the book, I talk about removing those stones of rejection, of shame, of anger, of hurt, and those kind of things that are blocking us from even receiving the love of God. So the first part of the book, because the book has two parts, the first part of the book is all about bringing healing and inner reconciliation in our own lives first. And then in the second part of the book, we talk about being agents of reconciliation in our homes, and then being agents of reconciliation in the house of God. And so that is kind of the makeup of the book, how I laid it out. I can't say enough about the importance of inner healing. And inner healing has to do with dealing with those emotional wounds and those character flaws on the inside of us and allowing God to do a work in us. It's critical. It's just critical. You ever heard of wounded people wound people? That's what happens. Wounded people wound other people. And so in order to be an agent, to be able to love people, to be able to bring the message of the gospel to anyone, we want to be have a measure of wholeness. Now, we're not going to be completely whole, and we're not going to be, you know, that doesn't happen until Christ comes back. But we do move from one degree of glory to another. Amen? And I believe we need to be at a certain level of emotional and spiritual health in order for us to be able to lead others and bring others and to love them and to care for them the way Christ would. It's the only way we're going to fulfill the Great Commission.
So many powerful nuggets, so many powerful spoken word nuggets. Well, while you were talking, Minister Gray, I was thinking of, I think you've seen The War Room. Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, The War Room.
Yes,
and so
we
when
went
you
to see
were
that.
Talking, I was thinking the war within us. We have to forgive
Amen.
Ourselves and then forgive the other person as well.
Absolutely.
And we got to heal and, you know, heal, as you say, because I'm thinking of, you know, when we're young and we always, you know, when you're falling down and then, you know, they wipe the little wound and then we got all the scab on top of the scab on top of the scab. And that scab is really a protection of the new skin coming off, and then it would break down. So
absolutely.
I was just thinking, too, we have our scabs that we have, we just keep pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding them, that the new growth, the love and power within us can't get out. It's because
absolutely.
We leave it there. Wow. And this is what I was hearing in you when you talk about we have to, and ourselves, address the issue in order for us to go out and help other people And
absolutely.
This is what I like about, you know, God, because he uses the wounded. He uses the people that feel
mm-hmm.
shameful. He uses, he don't go out
absolutely.
For the big-time millionaire, the people that think
oh, that's
they're
right.
almighty.
Yes,
he go out
right.
for the little men because they already know that other
yes.
person is going through.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get to the other side of our pain so that we can use our testimony, which is what I did in my book. I want to use my testimony of my woundedness and hurt and how God changed that to help bring healing in other people. But first, you know, we want to be able to allow God to bring healing in us so that we're not operating from a position of weakness but from a position of strength.
Mm, so true, as well as we don't want to go out and wound the other person. In other words,
exactly.
sometimes that person is wounded because they want somebody else to feel hurt, the pain they're going through, you know,
exactly.
and they think that's power, and it's not. Oh,
yes.
So when I looked at this listeners, this reconciliation and in the healing, reconciliation is different from forgiveness. I thought it was the same thing, but do you
mm-hmm.
find that the same thing, or you find it different, Minister Grace?
Yeah, no, I find it to be, I think that reconciliation is the process of, is more the process of healing, and forgiveness is just a part of the process. So
mm-hmm.
I often say, even in my book, that forgiveness is the pathway to freedom. It really is.
Mm.
And whenever I'm speaking with other women, or, you know, because eventually I did become a leader in that ministry, and I've led I did three or four step studies. And whenever I've coached and walked the women through the healing process, whenever it came to the issue of forgiveness, it was always more difficult for them to forgive themselves than it was to forgive the other person or even to forgive God. Like, of the three, when you ask someone, which is hardest to forgive, God, the person who offended you, or yourself? And I can tell you almost 95% of the time it's themselves. And I think that we really, you know what that stems from at the heart of it? We
mm-hmm.
have to recognize that if we have, now this is assuming if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've been forgiven. And so he's forgiven us for all kinds of things. And when we can receive his forgiveness, then we can then forgive others. And a lot of times what's difficult is we still want to hold on to the hurt. We can't really fully believe that God forgave us for, you know, whatever it was we needed forgiveness of, but we can't believe that God really forgave us. And then that hinders you then from forgiving anyone else. But forgiveness, and it has to be a full thing. You have to be able to forgive on all three levels. And that is the only way to get to the other side of our pain. Because, let's face it, there are some things that have happened to us that we can't go back and undo, right? We can't
right.
go back and rewrite history. We can't go back and change the past. So at some point, we have to come to the place where we're able to say, you know what, and let it go. And let God have it for real. And that
mm.
often is a very difficult process. And the ministry or of reconciliation is the process of doing that. You know, in the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 11, 6 through 2, that whole passage there is the ministry of reconciliation. And it talks about Jesus said that he came, that he was in the world reconciling us to himself. He forgave us so that we might then be reconciled to one another. And then it goes on to say that he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. And so the ministry of reconciliation is the process of doing that, of forgiving
mm-hmm.
and being forgiven. And it's, I believe the reason why, you know what the number one
mm-hmm.
issue is, I'll tell you. The number one stumbling block that is still the biggest stumbling block in the kingdom of God today is unforgiveness.
Mm.
We hear about a lot of other stuff. You know, yes, there's stuff going on. There's, you know, people who are being molested. There's all kind of junk going on because we're just people with junk. But the biggest stumbling block, the biggest thing that keeps us from really entering in and being free is unforgiveness. And I believe that the enemy is his number one weapon, and I believe the reason why he still wields that weapon is because it's the very thing that Jesus died to give us. It's the very thing. It's the principal thing.
Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
They do. It's the underpinning, it's the hallmark of what he did for us. And if the enemy can keep us walking and living in unforgiveness, we will always walk around being wounded, and we won't be able to get to the other side of it.
And always wound others. That is so true, because you look at what's going on today, it's something that happened to them in the past, and they kept holding on to it, holding on to it. It's like they became part of their skin, came part of their clothing. They didn't know how to take it off and just drop it and leave it. And that's why what happened in Charlton's. And remember, those women got up there and say, "We forgive you for what you did to the, you know, the other nine people in the AMG church."
I'm telling you, when those people did that,
powerful.
Yes, they gave the enemy a black eye that day.
Yes, yes.
They gave him a black eye that day.
Because
he would have loved to have seen them. What happened? I wish that what happened there would have happened in Baltimore when that situation broke.
Oh,
remember that?
Right.
That was just this past summer. And so
look
at the difference between the response of the people in Charleston and the response in Baltimore.
Right, right.
Big difference. See,
and all over, too, all over. We just have
learn
to forgive and... it's just, you know, so much has happened in the past, and we just keep carrying it and keep rehearsing. And for my listeners out there, it's very important to heal, you know, yourself. You know, forgive that other person, forgive that wrong, forgive that event, and go on with your life and put it in God's hands, and you'll be truly set free. You're truly set free.
Amen.
With this, and so we got a few minutes because, oh boy, I should have had you on longer, because in order for us to go on become ambassadors for Christ, we got to heal. Before us become leaders, we have to heal. So we got about 2 minutes, Minister Gracie. So tell us about becoming leaders, ambassadors. This is so powerful.
I don't know if I can get it all in 2 minutes, but... To become an ambassador of Jesus Christ only requires one thing, and that is that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and make Him Lord of our lives. That's what the prerequisite is, and God will make us to be the men and women that He's called us to be. He will groom us to be the ambassadors that He's called us to be. And that's what the whole message of this book is about. It's my journey to becoming the ambassador that God's called me to be. But the first thing and the primary thing that anyone must do to be an ambassador for Christ is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and allow Him to be Lord of your life. And when I say Lord of your life, I mean allow Him to take control of every area of your life. And that's a process. It doesn't happen in 24 hours. It won't be like that by this time next Thursday. It won't be like that in 7 days. But this is the place where you start. And this is what God wants. He wants us to make us to be champions for the kingdom. And that's the starting point.
And the starting point, and that's so solid for making a foundation. Mr. Gracie, please tell everybody how they can reach you, because, I got to have you back on, because this is so powerful, and your words just flow, and your tone of voice just, you're truly anointed. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for having me. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. I can't even take credit for anything that I've done or anything that I have. I look at my life sometimes, and I think it's remarkable. I thank God who did that. I just think that serving Him has been my life's joy, and it's been my very passion to share this message with others. And so people can get in contact with me via angelicgraceministries.org, www.angelicgraceministries.org. And please connect with me there. Please connect with me on Facebook. at facebook.com/AngelicGraceMinistries. And also, if you'd like to get your own copy of The Waymakers, Ambassadors for Christ, you can purchase it at www.AngelaMGracie.com. That's A-N-G-E-L-A, M as in Maria, Gracie, G-R-A-C-E-Y.com. I'd love to have you get your copy because we're having our International Prayer and Book Club Bible Study starts October 10th at 10 a.m. Information is on the website and on Facebook, and I'd love to have you join us. You need to have your copy of the book so you can read it, and I'd just love to have any of you join us for this journey. And we will be starting with the Waymakers, Ambassadors for Christ, but we will be studying other biblical books, and we will be studying other things on inner healing and leadership and those kind of things. And so I invite everyone to join me. And thank you so much, Renee, for having me. This has been just wonderful to share my heart, and I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister Gracie. Thank you. You've truly shared a lot of tidbits, a lot of helpful information, and your heart as well. Thank you so much. You have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen to Renee Wiggins of Blog Talk Radio, Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, next week for more fabulous tips on nutrition, fitness, and stress management.